I invite you to share with me the reading of Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6, just a portion of verse 6. Revelation is the last book in the Bible, and the 21st chapter is the last chapter in the Bible. A lot of people think of Revelation as a scary book, but these words have comfort and hope for us. Will you listen to these words, and in them, listen for the word of the Lord. Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God and made ready as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, "Look, God's dwelling is here with humankind. God will dwell with them, and they will be His peoples. God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more, for the former things will have passed away." And then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, behold, I am making all things new." He also said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And then he said to me, "All is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is a rich promise that God would wipe away every tear. Death and mourning would be no more in this last time when the kingdom of God finally comes. Oh, the kingdom of God is all around us, to be sure. Wherever God reigns and rules, wherever we follow God's pathway instead of our own, the kingdom of God reigns. But the fullest expression of the kingdom of God has not arrived. Some scholars talk about the kingdom of God as the already and the not yet. It is an in-between time in which we live, where God's reign is available. And ultimately, we know that God will reign. But where right now, there is the factor of human freedom intermixed with all of that. And humans have choices of whether to follow God's way or not. That's one of the explanations for the hurt and the tragedy in our world. Some of it may be natural, but a whole lot of it is caused by human action, by human beings that follow their own will instead of the will of God. But in this promise, we are given hope. It says, at these last times, God says, "See, I'm making all things new." Remember, He says, "I am making all things new." I got stuck on that word, remember, this week, because I think that's a strong and powerful word. I'm really glad that God uses that word, remember, rather than something like, don't forget. You know, don't forget sounds like something your mom tells you before you walk out the door, right? Don't forget your homework. Don't forget your jacket. Don't forget your backpack. That's a cautionary kind of thing. But don't forget and remember really mean the same thing. They just say it in different ways. And I'd like for us to explore the word remember for a while this morning because it is a powerful word. Remembering is turning the past into future. Remembering what has gone before, we set out to move forward and to move ahead, inspired by God's grace and called to task by the many needs around us. We are promised that perfect love casts out fear. And if we say don't forget, that kind of has a fear ring to it, doesn't it? If it's don't forget, it's like there's going to be consequences if you forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. And by the way, don't forget doesn't usually work very well because it puts things in the negative sense. And when somebody says don't forget, I usually forget. I'd rather they look at me and say, remember. Remember. Let's put this into context. One is based on fear, and one is based on love. When you say don't forget, that's based on being afraid that somebody's going to forget. But when you talk about remembering, it is moving forward into a world where there's hope and where love reigns and where love is proclaimed. They're really just two basic emotions. Those are love and fear. And if love comes from God, and we know scripturally that God is love, if love comes from God, then where do you suppose that fear comes from? Hardly anything good happens because of fear. Love creates and moves forward. Love changes things. Love gives things new form and shape, transforming the past or reshaping it. Or I like to think remembering it. If we think of members as parts of the body, you know the 1 Corinthians passage that talks about how the body works together, the eyes, the hands, the feet, everything is a member of the body. The mind, the ears, the voice, the feet, the heart beating. All of those are members of the body. And if we talk about remembering something, we're talking about giving it a future, giving it new life, giving it hope. So with this understanding of the word remember, what would these things mean? Jesus says in His words, "Do this in remembrance of Me." It's quoted in the Gospels and again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "Remember Me. Remember Me." I don't think that just means look to the past. I think that means a call to future, to live out our remembering of Christ. He says, every time you drink of this cup, do it to remember Me, to give My body a new, to give My spirit a new body. The thief on the cross said it like this. He was speaking directly to Jesus, and he said, remember Me when you come into Your kingdom. Let Me be with you. Give Me a body. Let Me be remembered. That comes from Luke 23:42. We talk about someone who has got their wardrobe all intact and their makeup just right, or their briefcase in hand, or their suit and tie on. We talk about them being all put together. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about with the word remember. Because sometimes we tear things up, y'all. And we need to be put back together in a new way. That's what I mean by remembering. And we need to remember the Lord. That's what the church does when it's at its best. All of the members of the church re-establish, re-bodify, remember the Spirit of the risen Lord and put it into action. Are you with me? Joseph in prison. Oh, we're going back a couple of centuries now, a couple of millennia maybe. Joseph in prison. But please, he says, remember Me when you are doing well. He says that to another prisoner who's getting out. Will you remember Me? Put in a good word for Me with the Pharaoh. Genesis 40, if you want to read that. He says, remember Me when you are doing well so that I will do well too. Samson, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15, he's been blinded by the Philistines. And he is growing again in his strength because his hair is long and he's pushing against the columns of the portico where everyone is gathered. And he prays, O Lord, please remember me. Give me strength. Give me new life, new body. Make me strong, he says, just this once more, so that I may have my revenge on these Philistines for these two eyes. And the psalmist's prayer in Psalm 106. He says, but don't hold on to the sins of my youth. That's a good prayer. Don't hold on to the sins of my youth or my wrongdoing. Remember me only according to your faithful and steadfast love for the sake of your goodness. That's what it means to be remembered. I'd like for you to think about how you could be remembered, not after you're gone, but right now. Many modern parents raise their children to become more than they are. And that's a good wish for each one of us, to become more than we are, more than we have been, more with God than we might have been on our own or by ourselves. I'd like to fast forward to the word recreation. That's another helpful and hopeful word. We sometimes see that word and pronounce it recreation, talking about playing softball or floor hockey or something. But there are two ways to say that word, recreation and recreation. You may know Cat Stevens' song that was popular back in the mid-70s. Called Morning is Broken. It's actually in our hymnal. Did you know there was a Cat Stevens song in our hymnal? I like that. The last line of that song says, God's recreation of the new day. It is a prayer of hope for God to recreate something of a future. Most people that sing that mispronounce it and say, God's recreation of the new day, which makes no sense. Unless you're talking about volleyball. It's God's recreation of the new day. That's what I'm talking about with remembering, recreation. Creation has become a controversial word in our culture because of its religious references. But we believe in a God who creates and continues to create. And who recreates when things go awry. That's good news. Because that's what we should pray for, that God would take what we offer, whatever it is, our efforts, our vulnerability, our best language. Any preacher who dares to stand up on Sunday morning and preach a sermon should pray this prayer. God, recreate my words. God, remember this sermon. Remember it to give it life again, to give it hope, to help people to remember or let God remember them in their life. God calls us to take what we've been given and make something valuable with it. We take what's invested in us and we nurture it the best we can. We hope it grows. But what is invested in us is creation. And what we do with it, with God's help, is recreation. We are co-creators with God. What is God calling you to create? Let us pray. Now we thank you, O God, that you have created us with possibility and potential. Help us to turn that creation hope into reality. As we create and recreate, and as you recreate us within, let us offer it all to you, O God, and to the good of your kingdom. Amen.